Bismillah, wassalat, wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa man wala wa ba'd. This evening, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, this is going to be our first session reading from the book Huquq Kibar Sin Fil Islam, yani the rights of the elderly in Islam, by our Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr. Hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. We expect that this the reading of this book is going to take only a few weeks, between 4 and 6 weeks. It's not very long. It's a very, very important topic, and as we'll see in the introduction, and it's something that everyone can benefit from. Before we actually go into the topic for tonight, the reading of the introduction, I just want to mention very, very briefly, in case there's somebody here who's new, that something brief about the biography of the author. And there is actually in the English translation a brief biography. I'm not going to read from that biography. I'm just going to use the biography that we normally use for the Sheikh. And I'll just read some of it, inshallah. Actually, the biography, our biography, is on the back of the study guide. It should be on the back of the study guide. Yani, the things that we want to mention is the author's name, his date of birth, his education, some of his teachers, and some of his writings and his present occupation. So the Sheikh, his name is Abdul Razak. He's the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. He was born on the 22nd of Dhul Qa'adah in the year 1382, which makes him how old now? 62. MashaAllah, 62. Mathematics, MashaAllah, 62, MashaAllah. So the Sheikh, he is not, yani, very, very old, but he's not a young man anymore. Yani, when we knew him, he was very young. Now, MashaAllah, he is up in age. The Shaykh, he was born in Az-Zulfi in the Riyadh province in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And all of his studies, his undergraduate studies, his master's and PhD degrees were all at the Islamic University in Al-Madinah. From amongst his teachers, there were many. From amongst them, the most important of them is Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah. And Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. And his father, Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, hafidhahullah. From amongst his writings is the explanation of Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari. And from amongst his writings is the explanation of Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah by Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah. And from amongst his writings is his explanation of the book Al-Kalim al-Tayyib by Al-Imam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. And likewise, from amongst his important writings is the explanation of the book Al-Qawa'id Al-Muthla by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. And from this you can see that the Shaykh, mashallah, is devoting himself to explaining the books of scholars, past and present. He also has written a number of books that are of great importance. From amongst them is Fiqh Al-Ad'iyya Wal-Adhkar, Understanding of the Supplications and Words of Remembrance. And another tremendous book is Ta'azim As-Salat, The Great Importance of Prayer. And the Shaykh has many, many books. He is presently a member of the teaching staff at the Islamic University of Medina. And he has also given numerous lectures at the Masjid of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina and other locations locally and abroad. So this is a brief, yani, mention of the Shaykh. Hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He is indeed one of the outstanding scholars today. Now, just a note, again, before we read the Shaykh's introduction. The title of the book is Huquq Kibar As-Sin Fil Islam. And it has been translated as The Rights of the Elders. And we're going to use the translation Rights of the Elderly. And the reason why we're making a distinction in this title is because, yani, the elderly for the most part means those who are older in age. And the elders has another connotation, and that is people of influence, people of authority, yani, people who are leaders and things like this. And we're not talking about leaders or people of authority or influence, we're talking about everybody who's up in age. And that is what is intended, and Allah knows best. So I just want to make that note, that even though on the English translation of the book the title is yani, elders, but we want to use the expression elderly to include everybody who's up in age, whether they are people of influence or authority or leaders of their group or otherwise. The second thing that I want to mention before we read the introduction of the Shaykh, which I think is critically of critical importance, is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, he mentions that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مُنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمَ السَّكِينَةُ وَغَشِيَتْهُمْ الرَّحْمَةُ وَحَفَّتْهُمْ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَذَكَرُمُ اللَّهِ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. Hadith reported by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih. Yani that there is no people who gather together in a house from the houses of Allah, yani in the masajid, reciting the book of Allah and studying it amongst themselves, except that as sakina, tranquility, descends upon them, and the rahmah envelops them, and the angels surround them, and Allah mentions them amongst those who are with him, who are in his presence, yani the angels. The people who gather together in a masjid from the masajid of Allah, reciting the book of Allah and studying it amongst themselves, tranquility descends upon them and mercy envelops them. And the angels surround them. Yani this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a blessing that we shouldn't take lightly. And for this reason, we encourage one another that we make the effort to actually attend the gatherings of knowledge in the masajid, as opposed to sufficing with listening online. And as for those who are unable to attend because of their physical handicap or other types of prohibitive factors that make it difficult for them, they might be in another city or in another state or in another country, then that is different. But the masjids where learning is taking place, yani where the sunnah is being taught, where the Quran and sunnah is being taught, those masjids should be attended. Whatever masjid, not specifically this masjid or this dars, but the masjids where the sunnah is being taught should be attended. We should attend the masjid, and we will not get this, yani the tranquility descending upon you, and the mercy enveloping you, and the angels surrounding you, unless you attend the masjid. And likewise, those who are at home, who are able to attend the masjid, are distracted by their coffee and their tea and their telephone and whatever else might distract them. Unlike when the person is in the masjid, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, because we're going to turn those telephones off and we're not going to let them distract us. Insha'Allah. Okay, that being said, tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, what we want to do... You get a copy of the book? Arabic. English. Now, you need a, you know, don't get up, he'll pass it to you. Okay, so again, tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, what we want to do is read the author's introduction to this topic, and the introduction is a little bit lengthy, so it's not likely that we're going to finish the introduction, but we'll read as much of it as we can. Keeping in mind that the introduction to a book is of great importance, because the introduction actually tells you what to look for, what to expect. Yani, what is intended by the author with this book? And that's important to know before you start reading a book, that you have some idea what this book entails. What is it offering? What do you expect to receive from it? So, again, we're going to read as much as we can from the author's introduction, and then we'll proceed from there in the following sessions. We expect that this class will last for any few weeks, maybe 4 to 6 weeks, not more than that, insha'Allah. So, the author, we're going to be reading from in Arabic from page 3 of the Arabic edition, and it's from page 10 in the English translation. In the English translation, it begins on page 10. He begins by mentioning the name of Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, And then the Shaykh begins to praise Allah. He begins to praise Allah. And before we read yani what he says in praise of Allah, let us yani consider the importance of praising Allah. Allah begins his book with praising himself. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And the scholars of Islam have talked about the importance of praising of Allah and how Allah loves to be praised. And so the Shaykh has taken the time out in his introduction to this book to praise Allah. And we should appreciate this. It's not something that we want to race through, but we want to actually listen and think about and reflect on the praise of Allah that He is due. And remind ourselves that we should be constantly engaged in the praise of Allah. So the Shaykh begins first, he says, Alhamdulillah al-Kareem bimahamidihi alladhi huwa laha ahlun. Yani, I praise Allah al-Kareem, yani the noble, the generous, with those things that he is praised for, that he himself is deserving of. That he himself is deserving of. Yani, praising him, not like people are praised with that which they are not deserving of, but praising Allah with that, with those things that he deserves to be praised with, that he deserves to be praised for. Again, أَحْمَدُهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ كَمَا يُحِبُّ رَبُّنَا وَيَرْضَى. Again he says, I praise him, Allah, the Blessed and the Most High, حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ. Yani, a praise, I praise him with a praise that is abundant and that is purely good. And it is filled with barakah, yani kathratul khayr, a lot of good. And this praise is as our Rabb loves it, and in a way that he is pleased with it. Yani praising Allah with that which he loves, and praising him in a way that he is pleased with it. So this requires that a person think carefully, yani how does Allah deserve to be praised? How does he love to be praised? What is the way of praising him that he's pleased with? That's what, yani, he is entitled to, and that's what we want to do. The Shaykh, again, he says, أَحْمَدُهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ عَلَىٰ أَطَايَاهُ وَمِنَمِهِ وَآلَائِهِ وَأَفْضَالِهِ. Yani, I praise him, the Majestic, the Most High, for that which he gives, yani the gifts that Allah gives freely, and his bounties and his blessings and his favors that he gives to his creation. Again, أَحْمَدُهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ. And I praise him, the Majestic, the Most High, عَلَىٰ أَنْ هَدَانَا لِهَذَا الدِّينَ الْعَظِيمِ وَمَنَّ عَلَيْنَا بِاتِّبَاعِ سُنَّةِ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَالسَّلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ. He says, I praise Allah, the Majestic, the Most High, for having guided us to this magnificent deen. Yani, from the favors of Allah, from the most important and the best of the favors of Allah, is that he has guided us to this deen of Islam. That he has guided us to this. He hasn't guided everybody to Islam. The majority of the people in the earth are not Muslims. The majority of the people throughout history have not been Muslims. So the fact that Allah has guided us to this magnificent deen, whether we were born into families who were Muslims or not, because not everybody born into a family of a Muslim remains upon Islam. But Allah has guided us to Islam and maintained us upon Islam. And this is indeed a magnificent, tremendous favor for which he deserves to be praised. I praise him for guiding us to this magnificent deen, and for blessing us, favoring us with being guided to the following of the sunnah of his noble prophet, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. Yani, and this is also from the favors of Allah, because not every person who is a Muslim is upon the sunnah of the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not every person who is a Muslim appreciates the pure, authentic sunnah of our prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so this is a favor from Allah, that we have not only been guided to Islam, that we identify ourselves as Muslim, but we identify ourselves with the pure sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without which a person doesn't really have Islam, without the sunnah. The Shaykh goes on, again, أَحْمَدُهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ نِعْمَةٍ أَنْعَمَ بِهَا عَلَيْنَا Yani, and I praise Him, the Majestic, the Most High, for every ni'mah that He has blessed us with. For every ni'mah that He has blessed us with. Every ni'mah, every favor, every bounty, every blessing of Allah. في قديم وحديث, whether it was يعني in the past or now, يعني old or new. سرا وعلانية, whether it is a blessing that Allah has given to someone secretly or openly. خاصة أو عامة, whether it is something specific, particular, special for an for you as an individual, or something that is general that Allah has blessed the Muslims with or the believers with in general. أو حي أو ميت, living or dead. شاهد أو غائب, يعني the one who is present or absent. وله الحمد حتى يرضى, وله الحمد إذا رضي. And he closes by saying that the praise belongs to him. يعني it belongs to him. It is his right exclusively. The praise belongs to him until, يعني continuous praise until he is pleased. And the praise belongs to him even after he is pleased. Even after he is pleased. Yani continuous, yani unending praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani let our tongues be engaged in the praise of Allah as much as we can remember to do so. After this, the Shaykh goes on in his yani introduction by mentioning the Shahadatan, the two testimonies. And he also takes a moment. Yani, this is not a hasty matter. It is of great importance, and the fact that he's taking time to spend on these matters means that a Muslim, this is not something that we say as an introduction just to get it done and it's over. Let's hasten to it, let's rush and get this statement made so we can get on to say what we want to say. Rather, the Shaykh is saying that what we are saying here is so important, we're going to take our time and express it in a way that will show its yani importance and its station. He says, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. And I bear witness that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone. And He has no partner. And He has no partner in that right to be worshipped. وَلَا رَبَّ سِوَاهُ. And there is no Rabb besides Him, other than Him. وَلَا خَالِقْ إِلَّا هُوَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And there is no Creator except Him, the Mighty and the Majestic. إِلَهُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ. And He is the إِلَه, يعني the one that is worshipped by the people in the beginning, the first people and the later people. وَقَيُّمُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرَاضِينَ. And He is the one who maintains and upholds the heavens and the earths, all of them. وَخَالِقُ الْخَلْقِ أَجْمَعِينَ. And He is the creator of the whole entirety of everything in the creation. Then the second shahada. He says, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَفِيُّهُ وَخَلِيلُهُ وَأَمِينُهُ عَلَى وَحْيِهِ وَمُبَلِّغَ النَّاسِ شَرْعَهُ. Yani, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipper and his messenger. Is his worshipper and his messenger. And he is his chosen. And he is the most beloved. And he is the one who is entrusted with the revelation that Allah revealed for the guidance of humanity until the end of time. And he is the one who conveys or delivers to the people, yani who has conveyed and delivered to the people the law of Allah, yani that which Allah legislated, his shara. Yani the Shaykh is showing the importance of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is the worshipper of Allah, and that is his greatest description. And he is the messenger of Allah, distinct from other people. And he is also yani Allah's chosen and beloved, and the one he entrusted يعني with the revelation to deliver it to the people. Then the Shaykh says, تَرَكَ أُمَّتَهُ عَلَى مَحَجَّةِ الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلُهَا كَنَّهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا بَعْدَهُ إِلَّا حَالِكَ. That the Prophet ﷺ Yani when he left this world, he left his ummah upon a clear path. Its night is like its day. Yani in the physical world, the night is not like the day. Yani in the daytime you can see everything clearly, and in the night you can't. But the path of Islam that our Prophet ﷺ left for us is a path, whoever travels it, there's no difference between the night and the day. It's clear clarity. A person is not lost on this path. Whoever deviates from it, after the Prophet ﷺ, that person, yani, their deviation is their destruction. Then he says, أَقَامَ الْحُجَّةِ وَأَبَانَ الْمَحَجَّةِ وَأَوْضَحَ السَّبِيلِ The Prophet ﷺ, in completing his mission, he has established the proofs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon humanity. And nobody has an excuse after this to do anything except what Allah has decreed for us, what He has written and legislated for us. Nobody has, yani, any excuse after this. He made clear the path, and He also, yani, made clear the way. Yani the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا تَرَكَ خَيْرًا إِلَّا دَلَّ أُمَّتَهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا شَرًّا إِلَّا حَذَّرَهَا مِنْهُ He said, the Prophet ﷺ didn't leave anything that is good, that is goodness, that is righteousness, that is beneficial to the people in this world and the next. He didn't leave any khayr, except that he has directed his ummah to that khayr. And he hasn't left out any shar, anything evil, except that he has warned his ummah against it. Yani there is no good except the Prophet ﷺ has pointed it out. Whoever came with something that didn't come from the Prophet ﷺ is not khair. There is no khair. Nobody can come with anything new, because there is no khair except that he has pointed us to it. And there is no evil except that he has warned us against it. وَجَاهَدَ فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ حَتَّى أَتَاهُ الْيَقِينِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ وَأَنْبِيَاؤُهُ وَالصَّالِحُونَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَسْلِيمًا كَثِيرًا And the Shaykh ends with this, that the Prophet ﷺ has exerted himself, striving in the way of Allah to the utmost, in the manner in which Allah deserves it, until there came to him al-yaqeen, yani death, until he left this world. Sallallahu, yani may the salat of Allah and of the angels and the prophets and the righteous from amongst the worshippers of Allah be upon him. And a salam that is complete and perfect and abundant. After this, the Shaykh goes into, yani, the core of his introduction. The core of his introduction, which is composed of 4 points. Yani the core of the introduction, after the introductory words, the praise of Allah and the bearing witness that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final prophet and messenger, he mentions 4 points. And we're going to read some of those points tonight, and whatever we don't finish tonight, the next session be idhnillahi ta'ala. The first point that the Shaykh makes, I'm summarizing here the points to have, yani, an outline of what we are actually looking at. So the first point that the Shaykh is going to make is the dire need of being reminded of the rights that Allah has legislated for people, for everyone, for anyone, for everything. That there is a real serious need for us to be reminded. Rather, in some cases, to be made known to us, because we might not even know these rights. The second point he makes is, knowing the rights, knowing these rights that Allah has legislated, is from the most important of those things that are obligatory upon us. Knowing these rights. Meaning that, of the things that are obligatory upon us, from the most important of them is knowing the rights that Allah has legislated, that we have to fulfill. How can a person fulfill rights for others unless they know them first? The third point the Shaykh makes is manzilat al-makarim al-akhlaq fi sharia. Yani the high station or the status of righteous, good character. The high status of good character in the Sharia of Allah, in the deen of Allah. And the fourth point is the need, our need to know about, to be aware of the beautiful, excellent, perfect aspects of Islam. And that we need to know about the mahasin of Islam. So these are the four points that the Shaykh mentions in his introduction before we go into the topic, yani the main topic of the book. And we're going to read yani as much as we can from these four points. The first of them again, the real dire need to be reminded of the rights that Allah has legislated. And secondly, that knowing these rights is from the most important of things that are obligatory upon us. And the third point is the high station or status of makarim al-akhlaq, yani good character. And the fourth point is our need to know the mahasin of Islam, yani the beautiful aspects of Islam. So the first point, the Shaykh says, أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّ النَّاسِ يَحْتَاجُونَ حَاجَةً مَاسَةً إِلَى التَّذْكِيرِ بِحُقُوقِ اللَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى وَحُقُوقِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَحُقُوقِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَحُقُوقِ الْأَقَارِبِ وَالْجِيرَانِ وَحُقُوقِ كِبَارِ السِّنِ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْحُقُوقِ. After the introduction, the Shaykh, he says that indeed the people are in need, in dire need of being reminded of the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla, wa Jalla wa Ala, and the rights of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the rights of parents, and the rights of relatives, blood relatives, family members, and the rights of neighbors, and the rights of the elderly, and other than that, of the rights that, yani, are upon us. The most important rights that we need to know is the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the rights of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then other people. And from the most important of the people who have rights of us, our parents. And the rights of parents are rights, whether they are Muslim or not Muslim. Now, the Shaykh, he says, والتذكير بهذه الحقوق بوابة للخير وطريق للصلاح والفلاح فالمسلم إذا ذكر تذكر وإذا دل إلى الخير احتدى والله جل وعلا يقول وذكر فإن الذكر تنفع المؤمنين سورة الذاريات 51st Surah, 55th Ayah. So the Shaykh, he says here that being reminded of these rights, the rights of Allah and the rights of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the rights of the people, parents, neighbors, relatives, and so on. And our topic is the rights of the kibar sin, the elderly. Being reminded of these rights is a doorway, an entrance to khair, and a path to as-salah wal-falah, yani to uprightness, to righteousness and success. Being reminded of these rights is a way, is an, a doorway, a pathway, a road to all kinds of good and to uprightness and righteousness and success. So the Muslim, if he is reminded, then he takes heed. Yani he pays attention to that. He benefits from that. If he is reminded, the Muslim, the mu'min, benefits from it. And there are people who are reminded and they don't benefit. But the Muslim, the person who really believes in Allah, the mu'min, when he's reminded, he benefits, he takes heed. If he is directed to khair, he's guided. Yani he follows it. If he's directed to khair, he follows it. And this is different than other people. And this is also a way for us to examine ourselves. To what extent, yani, we actually are described with this description. Yani, that the Muslim, when he is reminded, he acts upon it. He takes heed to it.
And when he's guided to something, directed to khair, then he follows it. And we have to look at ourselves and think about ourselves. And sometimes we're reminded and we don't respond. And sometimes we are directed to khair and we don't move. We don't take action. And Allah Jalla wa Ala, He says in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And remind, for indeed, certainly, definitely, the reminder benefits the believers. And this is also important. The reminder, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, certainly, definitely, surely, without doubt, the reminder benefits the believers. So if a person is reminded and it doesn't benefit them, there's something wrong there. Al-Imam Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of the Quran, of this ayah, he has a very important brief statement that from amongst whatever he said about this ayah, to me, the thing that caught my mind or caught my eye was he said, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He said, the meaning of this, إِنَّمَا تَنْتَفِعُ بِهَا الْقُلُوبَ الْمُؤْمِنَةِ. Yani that indeed, the only one that benefits from the reminder are the believing hearts. Yani the hearts that are filled with iman. The benefit of the reminder is for the hearts that are filled with iman. And this is a reminder to us that the real benefit is the benefit in the heart. Because if the heart is not affected, even if a person outwardly follows that advice or that reminder or that direction, but if it's not really in the heart, there's no real benefit. The benefit is when the heart is there. When the heart is in agreement with what a person is saying on their tongue. Because the hypocrite says that which is right, but it's not in the heart. And some people outwardly do the actions of Islam, but it's not in the heart. So Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, he says, indeed, the benefit, that which benefits from the reminder are the believing hearts. And Al-Imam Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, his tafsir also has a tremendous explanation of this ayat. It's quite lengthy, but I'm going to just quote a part of what he said, just for the benefit of this statement. He says that the believers benefit from the reminder, لِأَنَّ مَا مَعَهُمْ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْخَشَّةِ وَالْإِنَابَةِ وَاتِّبَاعُ رِضْوَانُ اللَّهِ تُوجِبُ لَهُمْ أَن تَنْفَعَ فِيهَا الذِّكْرَ. Yani that what obligates, necessitates them benefiting from the reminder is that which they have of iman and khashya of Allah, fear of Allah, and inaba, turning back to Allah with khair, and following, and caring about and following that which is pleasing to Allah, the pleasure of Allah. Yani because a person has iman, because a person has khashya of Allah, because a person tries to correct themselves and turn to Allah with khair, with doing good, because a person wants to do that which is the means of earning the pleasure of Allah, that's why they will benefit from the reminder. And actually, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, his whole tafsir of this ayat is tremendous. The whole tafsir, all of it, what he said here. So, going back to the text, the Shaykh, he is telling us that this first point is the real dire need of being reminded of rights. And here the point is what? That a reminder benefits the believers. So therefore we have a need to be reminded. And when we are reminded, then we're going to take heed. That's the first thing he says, because the reminder is the doorway to khair, and it's the path or the road to uprightness, to righteousness, and to success. And he says also, وَلِيُدْرِكَ الْمُسْلَمْ جَمَالْ هَذِهِ الشَّرِيَةِ الْمُبَارَكَةِ شَرِيَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَأَنَّ هَذَا الدِّينَ دِينَ الْعَدْلِ وَدِينَ إِعْطَاءِ كُلِّ ذِي حَقٍّ حَقَّ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. يعني سورة النحل, which I think is the 16th surah, 90th ayah. So secondly, يعني that why we are in dire need of being reminded, يعني one, because it's a path, a road, a doorway to all kinds of good. And also, so that the Muslim, when he is reminded, or when she is reminded, they will come to know and be able to realize the beauty of this blessed Sharia. And when we are reminded of these rights, a Muslim will come to know, will yani reach the understanding and comprehension, the realization of the beauty of this blessed yani legislation, what Allah has legislated, yani the Sharia of Islam. And will realize that this deen is a deen of adl, justice, and a deen in which everyone is required to give everyone their rights. Yani to give every person who has a right, their right. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the meaning of which is, indeed Allah has commanded, yani, يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Yani Allah has, He does, He commands that to the establishment of justice. And ihsan, yani doing good, yani in our worship of Allah and in our dealings with the people. And giving to those who, yani, have ties of relations. And He has prohibited from that which is evil and indecency and sin. And He has prohibited from transgression. And here He ends the ayah by saying, يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. And Allah admonishes us and He exhorts us. He exhorts us to do that which is good by commanding us with adl and ihsan. And He commands us with justice and the doing of good, excellence. And giving, yani, those who have, yani, our near relatives, giving them, yani, that which they are due, whatever Allah has legislated for them. And He has also admonished us in prohibiting us from al-fahsha, wal-munkar, wal-baghi. And He has commanded us with things that are good. And He has prohibited us from evil. In this sense, this is an exhortation. And it is also an admonishment that perhaps, so that, yani, you will take heed. So that you will take heed. The Shaykh goes on to say, likewise, yani, the dire need for being reminded of these rights that Allah has legislated, in addition to it being a doorway to khair and a path to righteousness and uprightness and success and a means through which a Muslim realizes the beauty of this Sharia, this blessed Sharia. Additionally, he said, وَلِيَتَأَتَّى لِلْمُسْلِمِ الْقِيَامِ بِهَا إِذْ إِنَّ فَاقِدَ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْتِي فَمَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُ حَقَّ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ أو حق الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أو حق الوالدين أو حق الجيران أو حق كبار السن أو غيرهم كيف يؤدي حقوقهم وكيف يكون عدلا. يعني the Shaykh is saying that from that which makes us to understand the need, the dire need of being reminded of rights, is so that it will be easy, so that it will be possible, so that it will be attainable for the Muslim to fulfill these rights. And if a person doesn't, is not reminded of them, then they won't be, it won't be possible, it won't be easy, it won't be yani attainable for them to achieve the fulfillment of these rights. And that's because, indeed, the one who doesn't have something can't give it. إِنَّ فَاقْرَ شَيْءٍ لَا يُعْطِي. Yani the person who doesn't have something can't give it, even if he wants to. Person who doesn't have money can't give others who are in need money. Person who doesn't have knowledge can't give knowledge. Yani the person who doesn't have knowledge of Islam can't teach somebody who wants to know about Islam. Person who doesn't understand Islam can't give people understanding. And the person who is not aware of these rights that Allah has legislated can't fulfill them. So this is to make it possible, to make it yani easy for the Muslim to fulfill these rights. The one who doesn't have something can't give it. The Shaykh says, so whoever doesn't know the right of Allah upon him, Whoever doesn't know the right of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon him, who doesn't know the right of the parents and the right of the neighbors and the right of the elderly, or other than that, how can that person fulfill those rights? And how can they be just in it, in doing so? So this is the first point that the Shaykh makes of the 4 points of his introduction. The second point is that knowing these rights is from the most important of the things that Allah has made obligatory upon us. Of the things that Allah has made obligatory upon us, from the most important of them is knowing these rights that He has legislated. In general, and specifically the rights of the elderly. The Shaykh says, وَلِهَذَا يعني in light of what we have just mentioned, the importance of, or the dire need of being reminded of these rights, for all of the benefits that come from that, he said, وَلِهَذَا كَانَ مِنْ أَهَمِّ الْمُهِمَّاتِ وَآكَدَ الْوَاجِبَاتِ الْإِنَايَةَ بِمَعْرِفَةُ الْحُقُوقِ وَأَن تَكُونَ إِنَايَةُ الْمُسْلِمْ بِهَا وَمَعْرِفَتُهَا بِقَصْدِ فِعْلِهَا وَالْقِيَامِ بِهَا وَافِيَةً تَامَةً وَلَا بُدَّ كَذَلِكَ أَن يُؤَدِّيهَا عِبَادَةً لِلَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى وَتَقَرُّبًا إِلَيْهِ لا أن يكون هذه المعرفة للمجرد الابتلاء والمزيد المعرفة وكثرة العلم ونحو لذلك. So the Shaykh, he says here, يعني for the above, for the reasons that have been mentioned above, يعني from amongst the most important of those things that are important, and from the most يعني certain. The most certain of those things that are obligatory is giving care to knowing the rights. Yani of things that are important, from the most important of them. Of things that are obligatory, from the most yani certain of them, is that a person gives care to knowing these rights. Yani that you care about knowing them, that you try to know them, that you make some effort to know the rights that Allah has legislated over you for others. And then the Shaykh says, وَانْتَكُونَ عِنَايَةُ الْمُسْلِمْ بِهَا وَمَعْرِفَتِهَا بِقَصْدْ فِعْلِهَا وَالْكِيَامِ بِهَا. Yani that this care that a person gives, that the Muslim gives, the care that they give to knowing these rights, must be with the intention of doing it. Yani of performing these, fulfilling these rights, fully and completely. Yani that a person gives care to learning, to act upon knowledge, not for the accumulation of information. So the Shaykh is saying here that yani knowing these rights is very, very important, but it's not sufficient just to know them unless the person in giving care to learning them has the intention of fulfilling them, of fulfilling these rights fully and completely. And he says, وَلَا بُدَّ كَذَلِكَ. In addition to seeking knowledge of the rights, knowing about the rights, with the intention of fulfilling them, he said, لَا بُدَّ كَذَلِكَ أَن يُؤَدِّيهَا عِبَادَةً لِلَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى وَتَقَرُّبًا إِلَيْهِ. That a person fulfills these rights with the intention that it is an act of worship of Allah and a means of nearness to Him. Yani that a person learns these rights with the intent of fulfilling them as an act of worship. Yani that they're doing it as an act of worship and a means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is critically important. Really, what the Shaykh said here is so important, because it is possible that a person might think it's really good to fulfill people's rights. Yani to fulfill the rights of the elderly, to show respect for them, to have care for them, to greet, to speak to them kindly, and all of these things, they might think this is very good. And they're doing it because they just think it's good. Not as an act of worship, not as a means of nearness to Allah. And they have lost the point. Because what Allah has legislated, the person who does what Allah has legislated, as an act of worship, as an act of obedience, seeking nearness to Allah, is different than the person who just does something that in and of itself appears to be good. But they're not doing it with the intent of seeking nearness to Allah, of earning the pleasure of Allah. There's a big difference here. So the consciousness that this, that when you are fulfilling the rights of the elderly, the consciousness that this is an act of worship. Yani just like when you make salah, you expect a reward from Allah. You're expecting to earn the pleasure of Allah. You're expecting nearness to Allah. You're hoping that this would be in your scales so that you might enter by the mercy of Allah and His favor and His kindness the paradise in Yawm al-Qiyamah. Well, likewise, when a person is fulfilling the rights of the elderly, they should be thinking that this is ibadah, that this is a means of any nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, this, seeking this, giving care to this knowledge of the rights, he said, it shouldn't be that it's just simply to be aware, to know about these rights. Simply to increase your knowledge. Simply to have a lot of knowledge. And whatever is similar to that. That's not the purpose. فَهَذَا لَيْسَ مَقْصُودَ الْعِلْمِ. Because this is not what is intended by knowledge. Yani, what is intended by knowledge is not just the accumulation of information. That a person just wants to know about things. Like some people, they read books because I just want to know about that. Well, that's not what we're doing in Islam. We're not just reading just to know about it. We're not just reading just to increase our knowledge. Just to have a lot of knowledge. That's not the intent of knowledge in Islam. وَإِنَّمَا مَقْصُودَ الْعِلْمَ الْعَمَلِ. But rather, the very purpose, what is intended by knowledge, is acting upon it. ولهذا يقول علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه يحتف العلم بالعمل فإن أجابه وإلا ارتحل. يعني علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه, he said that knowledge is calling out for action. So if it is responded, if this call is responded to, then all well and good and fine. That's what is intended. And otherwise, the knowledge will move on. Yani, knowledge is calling out for action. It's calling you to act. And if a person acts upon it, that's what's intended. Otherwise, it moves on. The Shaykh, and this topic really, and the Shaykh is going through it because this is a part of the introduction, but this is also a very, very important topic. Yani, the necessity of acting upon what we know. And as we know, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that people will be questioned on Yawm al-Qiyamah and they will not go forward until they ask four or five questions. And from amongst them is, يعني, ماذا عمل فيما علم. What did you do with that which you knew? We will be questioned. And this topic is of utmost importance. The Shaykh, he goes on to say, we almost have the time for that then. Allah musta'an. Okay, so we'll finish this. I'll try to finish this second point, and we'll stop there. The Shaykh goes on to say, فَلَا يَخْلُو الْحَالُ إِذَنْ مِنْ أَنْ تَكُونَ هَذِهِ الْمَعْرِفَةِ إِمَّا حُجَّةٍ لَكَ حُجَّةٍ عَلَيْكَ. That the situation, a person's condition would not be free of, in terms of having knowledge of something, there's either that it will, this knowledge will either be a proof for you or a proof against you. Yani, either one or the other. Knowledge, acquisition of knowledge, yani means that a person's condition will either be that knowledge will be a proof for them or will be a proof against them. He said, Hujja laka idha atanaita bi tatbiqi ma tasma'u wa fi'li ma yurshadu ilayhi min al khayr wal haqq wal sawab. Aw alayka idha kana hadduka min hadhihi al ulum wal ma'arifa mujarrad al sama'a wal quran hujjatun laka aw alayka. كما قال ذلك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani that this knowledge that a person is seeking, the knowledge of the rights of others that Allah has legislated, and particularly the rights of the elderly, he said this knowledge is either going to be a lead to one condition or another. It will either be a proof for you or against you. It will be a proof for you if you give care to implementing what you have heard and acting upon what you have been guided to of good and the truth and that which is correct. Acting upon it, then it will be a proof for you. It will be a proof against you if your portion or your share of this knowledge and this information is simply hearing it and without acting upon it. And that's because the Prophet ﷺ said on this particular point, "Wal Quran hujjatun laka wa alayka." The Quran, learning the Quran, will either be a proof for you or against you. Yani, it will be a proof for you if you act upon it, it will be a proof against you if you merely accumulate the knowledge without acting upon it, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. The Shaykh says, وَهَذَا يَتَطَلَّبُ مِنْ كُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِنَّا أَنْ يَسْتَحْضِرَ فِي قَلْبِهِ نِيَةً طَيِّبَةً بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى فِي سَمَاعِ لِهَذِهِ الْعُقُوقِ بِأَنْ يَنْوِي الْقِيَامِ بِهَا وَأَنْ يُتَمِّمَهَا وَيُكَمِّلُهَا وَيُكَمِّلَهَا فَيَسْتَمِعَ وَعِنْدَهُ نَفْسٌ مُسْتَعِدَّةٌ لِلْعَمَلِ لَا أَنْ تَكُونَ نَفْسُهُ مُعْرِضَةً ومتراخية ومتوانية فإن مثل هذا لا يستفيد ولهذا نحن أحوج ما نكون في مثل هذا المقام إلى أمرين ذكرها العلامة ابن القيم رحمه الله في كتابه مفتاح دار السعادة فقال يعني the Shaykh is saying here that so this requires from everyone every person from amongst us that they call to mind, yani, or have a consciousness in their heart of a good, pure intention between the person and Allah Azza wa Jalla. A good, pure intention in hearing or in listening to these rites. Yani, in coming to know about these rites, a person has to have a good intention in seeking this knowledge. And that is that they intend to fulfill these rites and to complete and perfect the fulfillment of these rites. So a person listens to what they are learning about this knowledge of the rights of others with a nafs, a soul that is musta'id, that is prepared and ready to act upon it. Not with a soul that is indifferent to it, or is negligent, or is slow in acting upon it. For indeed, the soul that is like this, the person that is like this, will not benefit from this knowledge. For this reason, we are in greater need, or our greatest need in this situation, our greatest need is to two things that have been mentioned by Al-Allama Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah in his book, Miftah Dar al-Sa'adah, where he said, the perfection of the human being, kamalu kulli insan, will only be completed and perfected with these two matters. Himmatun taraqqihi وَعِلْمٌ يُبَصِّرُهُ وَيَهْدِيهِ Yani, the first of them is that a person has high ambitions, high aspirations that will cause him to rise up to the occasion and to act upon, yani, this knowledge. And the other of them is knowledge that gives him insight and guides him. The perfection of every human being will only be with these two affairs, that a person has high aspirations that cause him to rise up and knowledge that gives him insight and guides him. فَإِنَّ مَرَاتِبَ السَّعَادَ وَالْفَلَاحِ إِنَّمَا تَفُوتُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ هَاتَيْنِ الْجِهَتَيْنِ أَوْ مِنْ إِحْدَاهُمَا Indeed, the levels of سَعَادَ and فَلَاحِ يعني of happiness and success will pass by a person from يعني these two affairs يعني because of these two affairs or one of them. Either the person will not have knowledge of these things, yani of the levels of happiness and success. Either a person will not have knowledge of it, and for that reason they will not move, they will not be motivated to seek it. Or a person will have knowledge of it, but their ambition, their aspiration, yani will not cause them to rise up and to seek it. So these two affairs are from the most important of affairs. Knowledge, which guides you to the path of truth and that which is right. And aspirations, high aspirations and ambitions that cause you to rise up in the paths of goodness and the paths of, yani, virtues. So either a person, فَإِذَا كَانَ عِنْدَ الْإِنسَانِ So if a person has knowledge but he doesn't have high aspiration and ambition to act upon that knowledge, then that knowledge will be a proof against him. And if a person has high aspirations, high ambitions, but they don't have knowledge, then they will just act haphazardly, randomly. Yani, they won't have any, yani, guidance. They won't be guided aright. So the Shaykh, he closes this point. He says, فَكَمَا أَنَّنَا نَحْتَاجْ إِلَىٰ عِلْمٍ النَّافِعٍ فَإِنَّنَا نَحْتَاجْ أَيْضًا إِلَىٰ الْحِمَّةِ الْعَالِيَةِ التي بموجبها يقوم الإنسان بأداء هذه الحقوق الواجبة والمتحتمة على كل مسلم ومسلمة. So the Sheikh says, just as indeed we are in need of beneficial knowledge, doesn't stop there. Rather, we are also in need of having high ambitions, high aspirations, due to which or based upon which a person, yani, fulfills these obligatory rights, yani these rights that are imperative upon every Muslim man and every Muslim woman. And we're going to stop here, and I'll just mention that, yani, the 2 points that we covered is the dire need of being reminded of these rights, and that knowing these rights is from the most important of the obligatory matters. And what remains from the Sheikh's introduction is the high station or the high status of good character in the Sharia and Islam, and also the need to know about the beautiful aspects of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these points, inshallah, we'll try to take next week. And as far as the questionnaire study guide, so the questions that go up to this point, inshallah, we'll take those questions next week in the beginning of the class, and the questions that remain will be, yani, passed over to the next study guide number 2. Okay, so we're past the time of the adhan. So what we'll do is there any correction from anything that was said, something that we need to make a note of before we dismiss? And if there are any questions or any comments, we'll take them, inshallah, after the salat. But if there's something that needs to be said before we dismiss, طيب. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.